I am a layman, not a member of the clergy, but part of my passion in life, and I'm an author and writer and speaker in Washington, D.C., is to relate faith to the central issues of our time in the global public square. André Malraux once made a remark that the 21st century would be religious or it would not be. And yet, as many of you know, Weber's term for the elites, the educated classes, that they were unmusical and tone deaf and didn't really pick up the music by which most people orchestrate their lives is still, in my opinion, very broadly true. And for me, living in Washington, I'm European, but living in Washington, many of the central issues of our time are deeply religious. You can take the big historical issues. Will Islam modernize peacefully? Which faith will replace Marxism as an ideology in China? Will the West recover its civilizational roots or sever them? And you can't answer those questions, which are on the table, without taking faith very seriously. Or you look at the global issues of our day. Will capitalism be given ethical boundaries? Will science be given a human framework? Will religion be able to produce political civility? Again, the huge issues of our time have to be answered from the vantage point of faith. And of course, the central issue for faith in the highly modern world is its basic integrity. And that's why I think the story of the Episcopal Church and the Anglican community wide is, in many ways, a test case for faith in the early 21st century. I am very grateful to be an Anglican. I think the mere Christianity stress, I think the sense of history, I think the depth of the beauty of the liturgy, and the thoughtfulness for its best exponents are admirable. And yet in America today, we have forms of the faith that are unrecognizable as Christians. And so you can see all the big questions facing religion are there in microcosm in the Anglican community. And I'm very glad to be on the side of those who are fighting for truth, for faithfulness, and for orthodoxy. I'm struck by the fact, as someone who's sometimes a spokesman for the faith on university campuses, that of people who come to faith out of backgrounds of atheism or skepticism, they do not come to the revisionist faith, because in many ways that's what they already believed. When they come to faith, the great converts and the clear converts are people who come to an undiluted faith and not to the revisionist forms of faith. I would also argue very strongly that while people see this as a backward look, that isn't so at all. The fact is, if anyone knows the history of the Christian Church, it's one of the most progressive institutions in human history, but it always goes forward by first looking back. And if ever it cuts itself off from its roots in the past, in fact, it doesn't go forward. And if you look at all the revisionist forms of faith, they could often be covered under the famous saying of Dean Ing of St. Paul's, "He who marries the spirit of the age soon becomes a widower." And we've seen in the last 200 years, every expression of liberal revisionism is washed up on the shores of time, and it's a dead issue today. And it's actually those who have a vital faith and strong roots in the past that are able to go forward. And I would argue in our communion that we need to be on the forefront of some of the most creative issues in the modern world. And for myself, my own passion is the question of how do we live with our deep differences and create a world that is forging a new civility. And I would be in the forefront of that. So I was saying in my session that the Anglican engagement with all the challenges of the secular world is vital to Anglican faithfulness.